Once again, gentlemen, thank you.
We also want to thank our intern, Shauna Muckle, for her excellent research.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:30 a.m. Next up, we have Culture in Motion, where art, culture, politics, education, and social movements meet with hip-hop as the guiding light with host Michael Crenshaw.
Good morning. You are listening to Culture in Motion, your twice monthly show on KBOO with me, your host, Mike Crenshaw. This morning, we've got another Hip Hop Time Machine segment. We've got students and staff from Alliance at Benson High School doing this project-based learning called Hip Hop Time Machine. So in the studio today, we've got our student, Baxter. What's up, Baxter?
What's up, Mike?
Baxter Stanley, who created a project for Hip Hop Time Machine for this installment. We've got our staff, Paul Peters. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man, good. And then we've got our staff, Nathaniel Edmonds, a.k.a. Than.
Hey, Mike.
Hey. So just for our listeners who might have heard this segment prior, because we have done one with Jupiter before, this is our second segment. We're doing it with Baxter Stanley. This concept was your idea, Paul Peters. So what do you think about telling the listeners where this came from?
Yeah, so being a lifelong hip-hop guy, you know what I'm saying? I love music. I've always been somebody who's been connected through writing myself. And so, you know, last year when we were really talking about this and for another project-based learning opportunity, I really wanted to kind of tap into that and everybody's love of music. And so for me, Hip Hop Time Machine, I feel like so often we get caught up in the moment. We just get caught up in the present, what's hot now, what's cool now. But I wanted to, you know, give credence and give an opportunity to see how we could connect hip hop, you know, throughout life, throughout time, even before, you know, myself, before I was born, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was just something that was really bred from that. How can we explore the music and the culture, not just now, but and not just of the time we know, like the 80s or the 90s, but even further back? How can we connect going way back?
So going back.
That was the goal.
What was that sample? I'm going back. How far back? Way, way back.
Right. Yeah.
So then with the consideration of sampling as being integral to the project, you came up with the concept too, like a more technical concept about how to express the Hip Hop Time Machine.
Yeah, at least as a starting place. We at Alliance High School are working on project-based learning as a way to increase what we can do with our students, and sometimes even in collaboration with them, like shows like this. Mm-hmm. So when we thought about the time machine, it was like, you know, Paul and I and you were talking about this stuff, about how to make something that could channel student voice and reach into culture and history. And so we thought, let's start with the past 10 years, and then take it back every 10 years from there. And so we start with 100 years of hip hop history, 100 years of music history. And since we're using sampling to do this, to create new tracks, you know, we're already pulling from hip hop culture. So we are going back to the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way up to today. Each student has done a different decade, and mm-hmm. they're using samples from that decade to produce new tracks of their own.
That's what's up, man. So when I heard you say hundreds of years of hip hop history, but what we're actually doing is, you know, because some of us that are listening are going to say, well, hip hop isn't 100 years old. But being that hip hop does sample as far as the music and even the dance, you know, styles from bygone eras, the history of hip hop can go back as far as recorded music can go back, right? And as far as movement, really, if we want to include that. So Baxter, you being a high school student here at Benson, you've been engaged in this project, and today we're going to listen to some of your music. Can you say a little bit about how long you've been working on the project and what this project means to you?
Yeah, so I'm doing the 40s, or I did for this project. I did two beats. one of them was, I think, sampled for more like drum stuff from Sing Sing Sing.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them was more like piano stuff, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Those two beats were, I think I worked on for like a month or so, maybe a little more than that. When I was first doing them, I think it's definitely a part of my learning process because I was not very accustomed to the software that we were using yet. I don't know, it was a step for me in my process because when I was trying to figure stuff out a lot with Ableton, it was kind of a explorational phase, and for a lot of it, I think, especially being the 40s, I was kind of frustrated with the 40s just because there was a lack of diversity in what I was at least hearing, just because of recorded stuff at the time. It was very expensive to be able to record music, so a lot of what they were doing, they knew that they had to make money back off of. So a lot of the stuff they were recording was more popular stuff than, you know, underground or more little niche avenues of music. So it was pretty much, for the most part of what I heard, it was a lot of the same stuff. And I kind of became quickly frustrated with that, as I usually like to step out of the box a lot. So
mm-hmm.
I kind of tried to put as much of a different twist on that and make it sound as least like the 40s as I could with the tools that I was using. And it was a lot of fun for me, especially, you know, because I didn't like the decade at first. So it was a lot of fun for me to come back and just kind of, you know, be able to explore it in a light that is using that technology. Because, you know, just sampling that and all the stuff, that's one thing. And then once you can pitch stuff up and down and warp things and mess around with things, and once I got to figure out those kind of commands, it was a lot of fun to do.
That's what's up, man. So like the 40s, when I think of the 40s, the stereotypical sound is like big band jazz.
Yeah.
So is that what is that what you, a lot of horns?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A lot of stuff I listen to, a lot of horns, a lot of, you know, a lot of big band stuff for sure.
Okay.
A lot of swing.
And yeah. Did you grow being talking about swing being a popular genre in that time, and you being feeling that it was a little limited because a lot of what was available was the same kind of sound, did you grow to appreciate it more with the more you listened to it?
No, I did actually. I would say, from what I listened to, for the most part, it was very technically based. It was more about like the little nuances of what was happening within the music than the, you know, actual vibe or sound of the entire song. I was, you know, getting a lot of different things to do with just like the little ways that everyone mastered their own instrument at the time, and just these little techniques. It's hard to explain, but I think it was Louis Prima. I was listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just amazing. I think it was maybe him and Bing Crosby, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was those two that I liked the most from that decade.
When I listen to Louis Prima specifically, I think about the skills he had as an MC, the way he used to hold the attention of the audience. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there's some live recordings I've heard of him, and he's pretty adept at like keeping people engaged. But Baxter, why don't we introduce the first song from the Hip Hop Time Machine project that you just did, so the listeners can hear what you're talking about.
Sounds good.
Okay.
A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off of his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack.
Wow, man, that first of all, that was dope. Second of all, based on the conversation that we were having, I expected to hear some horns in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was it? Was that a guitar? What was that?
I believe that that was just piano.
Okay.
I think the other one, I mean, so let me say that that was most of what I was hearing, not necessarily most of what I was sampling.
Mm-hmm.
Because since that was most of what I was hearing, that's kind of not what I was really choosing to pursue, but
okay.
The funny part is, looking back at both of these beats now, I don't even necessarily think I like them that much, just because I would have done so much more with the skills that I now know.
Wow.
Yeah, Baxter, I've heard your sound evolve over the past few months, so what do you think, when you look back at something like this, what would you, we'll listen to kind of where it's going in a little bit, but what would you say are like takeaways from the beginning of the process that you feel helps you get to where you are now?
I think a lot of it is honestly just like software stuff that you just wouldn't know without exploring each and every button. With so much capability, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't even know I could do or I didn't know existed.
Fantastic. Can you remind us of the software you're using?
Ableton Live 10 Intro.
I just want to plug quickly that Ableton donated a version of that for us to use in the classroom, and we're very grateful for them.
Dope.
Yeah, I wanted to say, first off, excellent job. But what made you decide to use the sample, like that part? Because I felt like it, first off, I was thrown from it because I wasn't sure. At first, I wasn't sure what sample was. And then when I heard it, I was like, wow, this is super smooth. And it almost felt like you recreated a song in a way, you know what I mean? So what made you decide to use the sample in that way or use that part of the sample?
That sample, well, first of all, it originally didn't really sound like that. The parts were in a different order, but I think that to me, I was listening to stuff and I was thinking I didn't really want to make something that was more like new hip hop. I wanted to explore something that was kind of more classic, and I was like listening to it more and more, and I don't know, like you guys could hear it, for whatever reason that sample to me just sounded the most like, I don't know, that kind of like, I don't know, this kind of like an edge of this like funky kind of like chill like 90s kind of, I don't know, to me it had the most potential to have that kind of classic hip hop sound. I think I would have, if I was to do it again, I'd put more drums and stuff and do a lot more with the different parts of the song, but I liked it kind of stripped down and simple, and I just thought that that sample kind of spoke for itself.
Should we go on to the next one?
Sure.
Yeah. So Baxter, that was what was the name of that? Did you have a title, working title for that?
No, it wasn't titled.
Straighten just, up and fly right.
Yeah, I just called it like Hip Hop Time Machine 1 or something.
You know, it's a trip to me sometimes is to hear a slang from back in the day.
Oh yeah.
And then the people still say, because he said you gotta be on your square, you know, and it's like we think this slang. When we hear slang that gets used, we think it's new, but some of this stuff has been around like for a really long time.
Really long time. That's funny you say that, because mm-hmm. like it's like even, you know, just the gap between like me and my dad, you know, right. what I mean? Like of 20 years, like he's like the stuff that he says, and then I even find myself saying that now, you know,
right, mean? Right.
In comparison to the stuff I might have said when I was like a teenager.
Yep. You know
what I mean? So like when I'm talking to my son now, like I say certain stuff, so it's it's crazy.
I watched we had some Afro-Venezuelan people come from Venezuela to do a dance demonstration at a conference I was at about Black folks in the diaspora, and so they did some of their traditional dances with their traditional garb on, and it was a trip because the dances that they were doing were identical to the Siwok. And it's funny, we think, you know, I tend to think associate Siwok with like the 80s and the 90s into the 2000s when we started seeing it show up in West Coast hip hop videos, but then, you know, these dances have come from all over for many decades. So
I thought something that was really interesting about it was a lot of the titles of the songs that I was doing, they were not real words. A lot of it was like boom bap shabam boom bop shaboogie, I don't know.
Scat titles.
Totally. So I thought that was very enjoyable to look through the titles.
Word. So you did two joints, and the second one, do you want to say anything about that before you introduce it?
If I recall correctly, I had a lot of Folgers coffee, rather muddy, so it was an adventure, that song. I definitely got creatively stuck halfway through, and I think that I was struggling with direction, but I ended up doing something, so.
So the caffeine kind of influenced what came out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Certainly looks like it influenced the title. This is Let's Go by Baxter Stanley. Thank you.
Sorry, Scarf. Sorry, Scarf. Sorry, Scarf. Thunder, thunder, thunder. Sorry, Scarf.
That was dope too, man. It's really cool to listen to the way different artists express themselves through the project, the choices that you make. I appreciate in the beginning actually hearing the scratching of the record.
Yeah,
you know, that's an important sound that sometimes gets lost with digital sampling.
Totally.
And then the way you ended with that little drum fill made me want to hear more.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Honestly, like, I didn't really like these beats right after I did them, and I still think that I could have done a lot more with it, and I think I would next time, but when I listen back on it, I guess, I think I like it a lot more than I originally did.
Right.
You know, it's a trip. You talk about how, you didn't like it after you're done with it, and I can say from personal experience, like, when it comes to me writing rhymes or whatever, and then, you know, I'm kind of toiling over it, and like, if it doesn't come to me soon, like, I know I want to write to something, but like, it doesn't come to me soon, and so now I'm spending more time than maybe I normally would creatively to make it work, and then by the time I'm done with it and I record it, I'm like, man, I don't even like this the same. But then somebody else will hear it, or I'll hear it months later, and then I can regain that appreciation for it. So I understand where you're coming from, you know, because as the artist, when you spend so much time on a project compared to when someone else hears it, you might have heard that beat 100 times. We heard it once. Yeah. So for us, we're like, oh, that's dope. Yeah. But you, like, this is like 101. You're like, nah, I'm tired of it. You know what I mean? So I can understand what you're saying. You know, I can understand what that means.
I like it because it kind of reignites forgotten ideas. You know, you're in a certain space at the time and you're doing stuff, and then you look back on it, kind of brings you back to that space and reignites the flame, so to speak. So I totally get that. Sometimes I'm looking back in my notes from like a year and a half ago, I'm like, how was I better at rapping a year and a half ago than I am now when I'm reading the stuff? But I think it's just, you know, perspective and time will change that.
Real talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I can say a visual artist, I put most of my more serious investment and you know, the musical world is experimentation for me. It's a chance for me to go back and visit when I was on a more musical path earlier in life. So I experience that whenever I sit down to a keyboard or pick up my saxophone or like get on some drums or something like that. But then it's like I keep doing my work in the visual realm because it does accumulate, and over time that record becomes my history. And I think I connect more with the meaning that I get out of looking back at a project that I made maybe in 2008 than I do about the number 2008.
Mm.
You can tell me what happened in 2008. Mm. Oh, I can get on my calendar, see what I was doing. But you show me that project, go, oh, yeah, that time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that time.
Certainly an emotional connection there. It's like everything you make, it's kind of your baby in a way. It's your...
Yeah,
your brainchild.
And it's a signature, it's a snapshot of whatever you were feeling in that moment.
Yeah,
you know, and that's one of the things we get to do with this Time Machine project, is build a bridge between our consciousness and our expression and folks who, you know, might not even be alive anymore. That's cool. Yeah,
recording this stuff and having, you know, the sort of digital archive that we do now, the network, all this, you know, I like to think of that too as a just a record of what's happening right now that other people can come back to one day and just see what kind of stuff was Baxter Stanley playing with in his early musical career.
That was sampled from the 40s, maybe, right. You know, 2040, right. They'll sample what I sampled, right. Like, at, you know, so
So tell us, where has your music gone since then, and what do you have coming out soon?
Well, I've been working on a lot of other stuff in your class with Ableton, and that's been a lot of fun. But right now, for the most part, I've been working on stuff with my band, De Bull. Been working on recording songs for that, and possibly going to do a show with for Mike Crenshaw.
Mm-hmm.
To help raise money, I believe, for that trip in December to Africa, right?
Sure. Yeah. Sweet. I would love that. And we just got to, we're looking at doing a show here at Alliance in late April, but then doing something in the community at large.
Yeah.
A little bit down the road. And then you guys, DeBow, so you got a video project for a single called August.
That's right.
And where can people find that song you guys did on SoundCloud right now?
Yeah, they can.
And on iTunes? And tell the listeners.
They can find it on Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. D-A space B-O-W-L, DeBull.
Okay.
You can find it there.
Wow.
Yeah, August is a heck of a track. It's good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying working with you guys here. And I'm also excited that even though we don't have an official music program like band class at Alliance, that we're still making ways and finding ways for you all to that do music to express yourselves and get credit.
I mean, dude, as long as there's a microphone right here in front of me, you guys are going to be hearing a lot more of me. There's a lot of resources here and a lot of cool people that are doing the right thing, so I appreciate it.
Right on.
That sounds like a good combo.
Yeah, we're I want to give a shout out to Outside the Frame too, because they're helping some of the students, including the ball with their single August, and a couple other students record videos in the weeks to come. So at some point we're going to be doing a public screening of those videos, and I'm sure that those of you that tune into Culture in Motion will be informed, because we're going to continue to talk to students about the projects they're working on here. Paul, what do you think about, as far as the from the inception to where the project is now, how do you feel? Are you satisfied? Are you inspired by where things are, and where do you see things going? What are some of your thoughts about where this project could go?
That's an awesome question. Honestly, hearing the projects that's coming out, are, you know, the different beats and whatnot, it's actually way better than I thought possible. Because, you know, when you create something, it's from your lens, even though you're trying to find out what someone else's lens is going to be. And so I was very much excited for that part, but to see where the various students are taking it is what's really awesome, because it's not something that I would have done, you know, and that's not a bad thing. That's what makes it so dope, is because I wouldn't have saw it that way.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, creatively, I just get to be front row to my own thoughts or my own creations, you know, as most of us do. But when you're a part of something and then you see it come to light, and then you see how other people are taking that, it's very inspirational. It's very dope. So I'm thoroughly pleased with what I'm seeing and hearing, and I look forward to just, you know, Baxter's next project and any of the other students to see what they're going to come up with, because it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
you know, it is. I honestly, I'd love to see, you know, maybe somebody take, you know, the beats that Baxter was looking at and see where would their mind take it. You know, like where would, you know, he used those samples. What samples would they pick? What samples would be dope to them? You know, how could that same song be flipped maybe three or four different ways? And obviously that's something we could probably explore, you know, a little bit more down the road. But I think that would be awesome to see how many different ways a song could be seen by different students.
Me and Jupiter, at least, and maybe Chris as well, we're thinking about doing some kind of collaboration on that project in the future for another decade. That would be a lot of fun.
You could do an EP, you know, of 4 to 7 songs, that'd 4 to 8 songs. Cool. You know, really the sky's the limit. When I listen to your sample-based production that has vocal samples in it, what you have there is you have complete songs, because a lyricist can take the ideas that are expressed by the vocal samples and write verses around those.
Yeah. Wow.
and also the way music is consumed, mm-hmm. you know, nowadays, like, you know, you just named all the different digital devices and downloads, you know what I mean? Like, it would be, it wouldn't be that time consuming, mm-hmm. and it would be very easy to get out and well received, you know, for you guys to do that. So I hope you guys do that. I hope you guys do that for real. That would be super dope.
I would, before we come back to you, then, I just want to make sure that I would be remiss to not point out the fact that project-based learning is intended to be led and directed by the students. And what we're doing here is actually a collaboration between some of the concepts that the adults were inspired to bring into the classroom, but it is actually being led by the creative labor of the students. So I'm just happy that we have something that's inclusive of the, you know, the thoughts that we might have been excited about, but it's really being driven by you as students, your creative output.
Yes. The key too is that when you get some of this, the momentum going, then like people do start coming up with their own ideas, and it's like we as adults, when we have like the experience, the know-how, maybe to plant the seeds, but then we got to be the listeners, you know. We got to be able to turn it and say, you know, when a student like Jupiter says, hey, maybe we should collaborate on another one, like I need to position myself to be able to say, hell yeah, let's do that,
right?
So that it's not all just about what I'm directing.
No doubt. Well, this has been another episode of Culture in Motion, Hip Hop Time Machine. Thank you, Baxter.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you, Than. And thank you for listening to Culture in Motion.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m. It's time for a special programming commemorating the anniversary of the